It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel, so brace yourselves. We finally got a deal with Iran. We've got a deal. Bring out the champagne. Of course, it was going to be signed today, but now they're going to sign it at the end of the week. And, oh, there's going to be another 2 months of discussion about the nuclear energy. You know, a couple of days ago, the news was different. The news was that Trump was fed up with Iran and tired of being played. We started bombing them. He said their chance to make a deal had sailed. Within 24 hours, who would have thought? Now they want to make a deal. And the deal's going to be made real soon. We have heard that a deal will be made real soon, about 10 times now over the last 3 months. Look, I've heard what's supposedly in this deal. If they actually make it, if they actually stick to their terms, it'll be great. But Iran, which up to now has been hoping to string this out until the midterms, even if they sign something, they will never abide by the agreement. Let me say it again. They will never abide by the agreement. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. I keep thinking of that peddler from The Music Man, trying to straighten out the people of River City who were just bamboozled by a hustler. There ain't no band. There never was a band. There ain't never gonna be a band. That's the way I'm feeling right now. There ain't no deal. There never was a deal. There ain't never gonna be a deal. Not in minds of the Iranians, maybe some of them, but not the ones where it really counts. In Trump's mind, sure. Now still, again, I think we could get to the end of the week and Iran might sign something, but they were talking about signing something all weekend. Meanwhile, Hezbollah's bombing Israel. Israel's bombing them back. If they sign it, fine, great. Let's temporarily stop the war, lower gas prices, allow Trump to stress the bounced back economy, win the midterms, and then later, after Iran violates the deal, which they will, we can return and blow them to smithereens. Meanwhile, better news. It's always good, and I'm always honored to have Ruth Wise of Election Integrity Project on our program. How are you, Ruth?
I'm just great, Bob. Thank you so much.
Well, there's all kinds of stuff. Let's start with the big elephant in the room, the recent primaries, state primaries for governor and primaries for the LA mayor race. Why? I'm going to pretend for a moment that I don't know the answer and that everybody else doesn't know the answer. Why do California elections take so long? What's the real purpose behind that?
The answer is three words. It's the law. Now, we can talk all day about why they made the laws.
Yeah,
and
that's
you and
the
I
real
both
question.
Know. You and I both know why they made these laws. And you are correct in believing that it's in our opinion. Okay, this is alleged, right? We can't know what's in somebody else's mind. But if there's smoke, there's fire. And I think the answer lies in a document on our website. It's called the Golden State Agenda. EIP-CA.com. And I think now, once you look at how all those laws over the last 25 years are laid out chronologically with a bit of commentary on what they do and why they do it and how they synergistically work together, it's pretty hard to not see that it's a clear agenda. And that agenda is to open every door possible, every window possible for election manipulation.
Well, we don't allow vote. It's not just that you don't have to have voter ID. They're not even allowed to ask for voter ID.
Oh, it's forbidden, yes.
And you could register to vote based on your gym membership card, I understand, or your
insurance
card.
A little overblown. But
really?
No.
Okay, well, tell us the truth about that, because I've been hearing that from a lot of places.
Okay.
Who's qualified to register to vote?
What ID
is required to register?
The ID that's required, and it's not physical. You have to write it down on your affidavit, whether it's online or hard copy. The last four of your social or your California driver's license or your ID card from California. If you register without either one of those things, things, then it's not a fatal flaw. You're still registered, but the first time you vote, you have to show up at the polls or include with your vote by mail ballot specific type of ID, which isn't photo ID. It's not necessarily a government issued ID. There are two pages of things that qualify to be that kind of ID.
Okay, so what are those other kinds of things that qualify?
A bank statement, a rental agreement, basically any official document that has your name on it and with your address on it and is dated after the last election.
But you're saying that originally when you're registering, they are asking for photo ID or a social security number?
They're asking for the numbers on that photo ID. They're not asking to see the ID. Okay. They just want you to record your driver's license.
And then when you get to the poll, you don't even have to have those numbers. You could show one of those other things.
No. Well, you don't show anything at the polls unless you're one of the people that didn't provide one of those two
numbers. But are
they
really checking at the polls to see if somebody didn't provide that originally?
Yes. When a person checks in to vote, it will come up that they have to show ID, and they will have been notified ahead of time that they will be required to show ID. Then if they don't bring it with them, now they cast a provisional ballot.
Isn't it true that they're sending out ballots even to people who don't live in California anymore?
Absolutely. By the buttloads.
How many dead people are resurrecting and voting in our
elections? An awful lot. Yeah, our data team is really good at finding that
stuff. They should have the elections on Easter in California because that's the resurrection.
It's resurrection day, yes. Yeah, that's very true.
Okay, so Los Angeles. Rahman gave a tearful concession speech on election night. As the votes are coming in, there's some exceptions. I'm speaking in generalities, but they're all coming in for her, not Pratt. They're not even coming in for Bass anymore. And I'm thinking, well, that's because they don't need to come in for Bass anymore. Bass has already clinched it. This is so obvious. And I've heard that it is statistically impossible what happened. Could you comment to that?
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. It is statistically impossible, not even improbable or incredible, but simply impossible that she would have started out where she started and then risen to what she did after the election day and he sunk to third place. There's no way that she has that kind of support in Los Angeles. And the Angelinos know that.
Well supported in her own district.
No, and the Angelinos know that, and they know that this whole thing has been manipulated. But the thing is, nobody has the ability to do anything about it, supposedly. Now, the really good news there, you know, again, cautiously optimistic, because you never know. But now we have a really big boots on the ground investigation by the federal government. We have Bill Assaley in there. We have Harmeet Dhillon in there. Hope is that they'll finally do something about this. There's plenty for them to find. And they have a tip line open. EIPCA, which is my organization, has provided all of the documentation that we have that is impeccable to them. We have now got a straight line directly to Bill Assaley. So we feel like there'll be a lot of good things coming out of what we're providing them. And then individual citizens are providing them things that they've seen and heard. And then, of course, there are other organizations besides ours that are bringing some information to the party as well. And I'm just hoping that they don't say, well, you know, nothing to see here. Because if they do, that's the end. We're dead. If they walk out of LA in the condition it's in now and say there's nothing to see, then
if they don't find fraud there, they're not going to find fraud anymore.
No, they never will. They never will.
Now, a few weeks ago, Newsom, when a lot of these Republican candidates were gaining momentum, Newsom was asked at a press conference if he was concerned. And he says, don't worry, we have a plan to break the glass. Now, he didn't explain what that meant, but it sure didn't sound good. And just a couple of weeks later, they passed some new law having to do with limiting people to go in and check on polls. And can you comment to what this new law is doing? Because it seems like that new law was put in place just in time. And I think they're trying to use it to thwart this current investigation by the Justice Department.
That's a possibility. I mean, you know, California has been thwarting a lot of things. They won't turn over their voter rolls, even though the federal government has every right to the voter rolls so that they can ensure that federal elections are fair and honest and transparent and constitutional. In California and a few other states won't turn those over. So they're being sued for it. But again, the amount of time it takes to go through lawsuits, et cetera, that there needs to be a faster way because California is basically saying, we're not part of the union. So, you know, you guys could go just hide under a bench because we don't have anything to do with it. So there's a lot more to say this topic, which we'll do later.
Okay, this is the Bob Siegel Show. I'm with Ruth Wise of Election Integrity Project. We will be right back.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always good to be joined with Ruth Wise. She comes on our show a couple times a year. She's with Election Integrity Project. We were talking about the federal investigation into Los Angeles. How much of this is the state of California in general also? Because I think there were a lot of shenanigans with the governor's race. And correct me if I'm not mistaken, I was a little more hopeful with Hilton not being knocked out because I figured there are some Republican districts still, even in California, that are probably doing things the right way. So maybe it's a little harder for them to cheat statewide, although certainly they pulled it off before. It seems a lot easier for them to do what they did in LA. But maybe speak to that. And then also, how much is California in general? I know they're keying in a lot on LA.
Well, if you'll allow me to be a little bit cynical, I think that they decided to allow Hilton into the top two.
Kind of cover their tracks a little bit.
Number one, yes, to make sure that it didn't look that suspicious because they knew what they were doing in LA itself. And also because I think they wanted to avoid a real nasty knockdown drag out between two Democrats at the gubernatorial level. These two particular ones would have been a pretty nasty thing, and then it might have left a lot of damage in the party itself. And I think they just decided, well, we know we can easily manipulate things to beat Hilton, so let's just let them have this one. I'm cynical enough to believe that's exactly what happened.
You know, I've seen it happen. As soon as Garcia pulled a little bit ahead, they called the election for him. And yet they're still saying we've got days and days to count, and we can count all the way up to July. And I'm thinking he's not that much ahead of Hilton. And they weren't willing to call it for Hilton when he was ahead. Did that look a little suspicious too, them
Absolutely.
Calling it so
quickly? And, you know, people hear, you know, they say, oh, they called the election. Well, you have to look who's calling.
Yeah, the AP is usually the first to call.
Yeah, and they have no authority. They're just giving you their very best guess.
It's a projection.
And most of the time, their projections are correct. They have those formula that have been worked for years. Occasionally, though, now with the manipulation that California has been putting into the system since 2018, sometimes they're very wrong because over the 3 weeks after election, the call flips and they wind up not having been correct. So, you know, things could still change even right now. There's just too many things out. But I think that that's probably what they decided to do. You know, give this one to Hilton because they figure they can
easily bury him. But there's no way on earth they're planning on giving him the actual election.
Absolutely right? Not. Right. No.
Do you think it would be pretty amazing if he wins? Would that stretch credulity to be optimistic about that?
He would have to win by 15 points on the ground in order to be reported as having won by half a point. that's about how the statistics are working in terms of the amount of manipulation that can happen before it all gets out in the open. So yeah, it will have to be a pretty spectacular win. Now, what's happening in LA itself, that was just monumental, obvious, out in the open, in your face manipulation.
Pratt just slaughtered both of them in that debate, and he's really gaining traction. Now, he plans to keep fighting.
He does.
But he's not planning to contest
the
election.
Correct. But you see, LA finds, and this is what, if you look at our work for the last 15 years, every election, LA finds a different way of manipulating whatever they want to manipulate. One year it was the sheriff. One year they were the reason that we didn't elect what would have been a really spectacular Secretary of State. One year it's the mayor, you know, but they find something that they hone in on, and they find a different way to do it every time. And we've got, you know, the long history of all the different ways they do it. So you look over here how they did it last year, and everything looks wonderful and cool. And then, oops, all of a sudden, on the other hand, they have found a new way. And so it's very frightening to see how that works. And now with all of the new stuff, like the algorithms and the, you know, all of the technological things that can happen, they're finding newer and newer ways to manipulate and then hide that manipulation. So we have data statisticians who are using what is the industry tool for detecting a potential of fraud. That's used by banks, it's used by insurance companies, everybody. So we're applying that to elections, and district by district, precinct by precinct, we're showing the graphs that show the evidence of fraud going on. That's hands on the keyboard, probably from outside the elections office, hacking in and changing these statistics as they come in. So it's possible that a good registrar, a county that tries to be honest, has no clue this is happening to them. But you asked about statewide. Yeah, statewide is not clean, but they always focus on LA because one third of the entire voting population of California lives in LA. They are the tail that wags the dog. So that's why there's so much focus on LA right now. If we can expose the stuff that's going on in LA, it will send shockwaves across the entire state.
Do you think any of these shockwaves will cause people to reinterpret 2020?
They already are. Yeah, they already are. Besides the things that are already coming out that nobody let come out before, I think an awful lot of people are reinterpreting 2020. And even those that were skeptical at first are saying, oh, yeah, that was.
And again, I know that Election Integrity Project is nonpartisan.
Correct.
But without endorsing one candidate or the other, you are of the opinion that whoever a person prefers, 2020 was not an honest election.
We are of that opinion, yes.
Could you review a little of that again?
Well, all of the shenanigans that we saw take place
on election
openly
night,
in front of our faces, across the TV
screen.
Didn't
six states stop counting all
at the same
time?
I think it was five, but they were the five key seats that just stopped counting all at once. And then a couple hours later, 3 hours later, whatever it was, came back online. And when they went offline, Trump was winning by a lot in every state. When they came back online, all the totals had flipped and he lost every one of those
and
states.
And most of those Biden ballots weren't up and down ballots. They were just ballots with Biden's name
on
them.
Well, some of them, yeah. And see, that's not even credible to have something like that happen. And
votes for everything. Usually.
We had the videos of people pulling extra ballots out from underneath the tables. I mean, all of those things, some
plus
of which could have been explained.
Illegally changing their election laws unconstitutionally even before the election. That alone should have been enough.
That too, absolutely. All of that went together in 2020 to create something that you just could not believe in. I mean, just look at the vote totals. You really believe that any person, let alone a person who basically didn't run a campaign, is going to get 81 million votes, when even Barack Obama didn't get anywhere near that? The most popular candidate.
Joe Biden,
who
campaigned from his basement.
Precisely.
Barely had 30 people show up at his rallies.
They have lost any respect now. I mean, I'm talking about the manipulators, have lost any respect for the people because they're not even making it look credible anymore. They don't care for even a veneer of credibility. They just make it outright happen and laugh in your face.
And yet people are afraid to say anything. I hear the commentators on Fox News bite their lip or they're about to say 2020 was fraud and they stop.
They're not
them.
Allowed to. They're
well,
not.
There was a lawsuit against Fox News.
Yeah,
for talking
so
about.
They're required to keep their mouth
well,
shut.
Well, and
it.
If you are against the 2020 election, you're an insurrectionist. You're an election denier. The Democrats will deny every single election
everyone
they lose. I mean, every major
everyone.
One.
Yes.
Maybe an election for dog catchers somewhere. They don't object to that one, but it's just
well, Stacey Abrams still has not
she still
conceded.
And Hillary's never conceded the 2016.
Conceded
for 4 years, we heard Trump's an illegitimate president.
And it's okay for them to say that.
Yeah.
But then when it's really true and it's perfectly obvious, it's not okay for
you're
the
You're an election side denier if you're a Republican. Exactly. You're just standing up for democracy if you're a Democrat.
Precisely, yeah.
Unbelievable. Okay, any more going on with the federal investigation? I know you were telling us some other things about that before we went to the break.
Yeah, you were talking about the laws that California had passed, you know, right at the last second. Well, first of all, they suspended every law and rule and regulation that they themselves had made and imposed on themselves as a legislative body in order to follow, you know, proper procedures. And they got rid of all of those in order to even write and pass these laws. And so they should be illegal laws to start with. But yeah, they have made it illegal for anybody to stand close enough to observe or to challenge a signature or even to protest something. And
when they say they're going to break the glass, they're not kidding.
Talk about being obvious.
All right, we'll be right back.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
People are enjoying Bob Siegel's time travel novel, Push the Winds Around. Check out these customer reviews on Amazon.com. This is one of those books like certain movies where you keep thinking about it long after you finished. Once I picked it up, I didn't want to put it down until I'd read the entire book, literally a page-turner. Every character came to life. Their personalities were well-defined and consistent. First thing I did after I finished the book was to ask about the sequel. The next customer said, I read this book cover to cover in one sitting. Great read with completely unexpected ending that left me wishing there was just one more chapter. Give yourself a couple of hours to read it all at once because you won't want to put it down. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Well, LA used to be a great big freeway. Now it's a great big cesspool with cesspool-laden elections. Say hello again to Ruth Wise. Okay, Ruth, go ahead and finish up what you were telling us as we went into the break. You were talking again about that recent legislation that's interfering with us checking on elections, the broken glass.
And it's incredibly troubling that they would pass a piece of legislation and pass it in a day and a half. There's supposed to be a period where the public gets to weigh in. There's supposed to be a series of committee hearings, et cetera, et cetera. But they just broke every rule that they had made for
themselves.
They've
just been led to believe they can get away with this. They don't really believe there will ever be any consequences.
And they have. Now, to be real honest, and what people don't know is that, you know, everybody's making a big deal about this. And now observers can't challenge signatures. Observers have never been allowed to challenge signatures. But it's kind of a distinction without a difference here. What we could do as observers, and still can by California law, is when we see a signature that has been accepted or rejected, and it appears that the procedures that are mandated to follow in order to accept or reject a signature were not followed, then we can step in and say, we would like you to look at that again or move it to the next level of adjudication. We can't like outright challenge the signature. We can challenge the decision and ask them to move it ahead for further review. And what that means is that they have to look for, like, and each county gets to decide whether it's a 1-point, 2-point, or 3-point match, which is crazy in its own. So some counties, if they want to, can just say, well, it's written in cursive and every T is crossed, so that's a match. I mean, which is ridiculous, but they could go that far. But most of them try to make some sort of a legitimate, but they don't have to match. It only has to have some sort of a vague comparison to the signature on file. So let's say they find 2 which is what San Diego requires, two points of match. Well, the law goes on to say, but if the signatures have significant, multiple, and obvious differences, then they have to be further looked at. So if the observer is saying, okay, I see the crossed T's and I see the dotted I's, but there are significant, multiple, and obvious differences here, and I can point them out to you, I think you need to take a closer look at
the signatures. Are you saying people can still go in and point that out?
We have a right to do that. Yeah, Election Code 15104.
How is this new law affecting that?
I think it's basically, it hasn't required anything that wasn't already not required. That was kind of odd. But I think it scared everybody. You know,
they just put teeth in something?
They just scared everybody. Says, don't even pretend. Because then they'll say, no, you're challenging a signature. You can't do that. You have to leave here.
Is it more like the threat that you could be sued rather than
I think so. Even though we're following the laws and our observers are trained very delicately in how to word that challenge so it is not challenge the signature itself. But I think now everybody's going to be afraid to because they're just going to say, oh, SB 73, you can't do that anymore. They've moved it every turn, though. And I wanted to look a little bit with you at Shasta County because yep. Shasta was the big pivotal county that did a lot of research.
There's some good news.
There is, too. But they did a lot of research and they brought in all of these experts from everywhere else in the country and in the world that do same-day voting, hand counting, all paper ballots, you know, all this stuff. And they decided as Board of Supervisors, we're going to go to all paper ballots and we're going to go to no machine tabulating. We are going to do this, proving it could be done. And showing everywhere else it's being done. Well, then they went into hysterics. And the first thing this legislature did is to pass an ex post facto law saying it can't happen. Nobody can do that. If you have more than 1,000 voters in an election, you have to use machines by California law.
Was that specifically designed to go after Shasta County?
Absolutely it was. And to make sure that no other county followed suit to Shasta, because some of them are pretty excited about it and thinking of following up. And now Shasta has this amazing registrar of voters who, frankly, he helped design these machines and design the vulnerabilities into them, but he didn't know what he was doing at the time. He was given an assignment. He's a brilliant man. And so he knows what their capabilities are. And so he has designed a system that does not go against California law, but make sure that the machines cannot alter anything. And we're working on something now that I really can't say too much about at the moment, but it appears that there are a lot of injected ballots that are easy to detect because they are identical. They're either all printed or they are a Xerox copy of a single one because of the different ways that the targets are filled in are identical with where they go out of the lines or they don't.
Machines that can spot this?
It's a program that he has created of transparency where every ballot before it goes through the tabulator is videoed. And then after Election Day or on Election Day and after, those videos are available online to anybody who wants to do his own evaluation and hand count and observe anything. So then if you tabulate and you find out the machine tabulated differently, now you know that the machine is a problem. If you've got fed in ballots, you can find them by looking for the patterns if you're willing to sit there. And Clint Curtis is his name, and he says that if he can just get 3% of the populace to volunteer to do this volunteer work, and it costs them virtually nothing to do this, it's very cheap, and he is the most transparent registrar out there. And so everyone was very, very excited about the potential of at least Shasta is going to be honest. And he and a coalition of gubernatorial candidates who said, you know, election reform has to be our top concern here, have been focusing on trying to push election transparency of the nature being done in Shasta. So now at post-election, they think that some of what their investigation is going to turn up might prove some things that we've been alleging for 15 years.
Wow.
So there's hope for that. I don't want to say too much more about it than just that because he's really under fire. He is in a county where they elect the registrar and he's being reelected this time. And on election night, like everybody else, he was way ahead. And now the numbers are creeping up and creeping up and he is going to be behind. And so he can't get involved in this, but the citizens can see if they can find out whether there's any hanky-panky involved in all of that. What's happening internally is that the people who are in the union, the poll workers, not the poll workers, but the election office workers union is controlled by the Secretary of State and Rob Bonta, the Attorney General. And so So there is a huge problem there, right? Because they are trying to hold on to all of these abilities around the state to manipulate whatever they want to manipulate. And Rob Bond is filing suit against anybody and everybody. And Shirley Weber is out there saying everything is perfectly fine, perfectly fine. But these people are answering to those two people. And so the effort for transparency in Shasta is difficult because you've got the factions that want transparency and those that want to cover it up. So it's going to be an interesting fight. You know, see how it turns out. Keep your eye on Shasta as well as on Los Angeles. We may see something happen one or both places.
That would be great. Now, before we move on, I had already mentioned some stuff that you said was kind of an exaggeration about being able to register with a gym membership. So I'm going to clear up a few others. I've heard that if a person can't write their signature, they can mark it with just an X.
The voter whose signature is an X or a squiggle or a smiley face or whatever is supposed to have that signature on file with the registrar's office, so they're expecting his signature to look like that. And then that signature also must be witnessed by someone so that the signature comes in both ways.
Okay, so, and then what about the postmark? I heard that if it's not postmarked, they could write the postmark on. Is that another one that's not true? Or is
they
that
don't
true?
Write the postmark on, but they have to put the date of their signature. And since these ballots can come in late, they can put any date they want to. And
but don't they still have a post? Wouldn't they have a contradictory postmark?
This is for ballots that come in with no postmark or an illegible postmark.
Oh,
and it's real easy.
Because they'll just claim it's an illegible
postmark. It's real easy to get a bona fide postal service to deliver these ballots that mysteriously have no postmark.
Okay.
So we look at the date that the voter wrote, and he may have made out that ballot 2 or 3 days All after right. Election Day.
Okay, we'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel. Looking for a church? Maybe not. Perhaps you've had your fill of churches. Maybe you even grew up in the church. Maybe as a kid you were dragged to Sunday school against your will. Maybe you used to throw spit wads as Mrs. Pumpernickel tried desperately to interest you in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. You may have grown up listening to long sermons, anxiously looking at your watch to see how much of the game you were missing at home on TV as the pastor made his 97th point. Or perhaps you were not raised as a Christian at all. Instead, you have merely encountered Christians. Maybe some obnoxious personality tried to shove the gospel down your throat using all the tact of a lawnmower in a barber shop. Well, my friend, perfect Christians don't exist because perfect people don't exist. That's why Jesus died for our sins. So I'm not going to tell you that the people of Skyline Church are perfect. I'm just going to tell you that we come real close. No, actually, you'll just find people who struggle with life the same as you. But we're honest about the struggle, and we help each other with the struggle. What you will find is a church that takes the love of Jesus Christ seriously. After all, his message is one of mercy and inclusion, and we don't need 97 points to talk about God. Ask anybody. Our sermons have never made more than 96 points.
Skyline Church.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm here with Ruth Wise of Election Integrity Project. Ruth, I know you've done this before, but it's good review. Let's talk about voting in San Diego. I know you have some ideas about how people can vote more responsibly in ways that they can just guarantee that their vote will be counted, or at least in increased the odds. So go ahead and speak to that.
Sure. And we don't want to go to war with anybody. Everybody has a preferred way of voting. And I know that there's a lot of excitement about the ballot harvesting. And we've always been against ballot harvesting because it's certainly a good way to manipulate an election.
I don't like it. I always go down and vote in
person. We have an awful lot of evidence now. I mean, currently that someone is under indictment in Los Angeles for paying people to sign registration and sign the ballot over to, you know, there's just all this stuff going on. And the fact that somebody can just go scoop up, you know, as many ballots as they want to and turn them in and maybe cherry pick them before they turn them in or choose not to turn them in.
Oh, this one's for the Republican. Know. Oops,
yeah,
I
exactly.
lost it.
So, you know, there's a lot that can happen there. But then, you know, the voters need to be a little bit responsible, not be so naive as to think that they can just hand their ballot to someone they don't know that well and say, oh yeah, turn it in for me. But you know, people are going to do that. So we've got some reports this year of people, which I know happens all the time, going to living facilities for elderly, even
which looks like a good service.
Even memory care areas, you know, where we find out that these people inside intend to do well, but they don't know the law and they're keeping the ballots from the residents and then they get them all together and they all sit and go out and vote together. Well, that's not okay. They're doing it to help them, but they don't know that they can't do it. And then some of them are doing it on purpose, of course, or they're filling their ballot out for them and sending it in for them if they don't have a relative that's keeping a close eye on stuff like that. You're getting a lot of manipulated people. In San Diego, as in the rest of the country, we have to receive a ballot whether we want it or not, which is a monumental waste of postage, ink, carbon footprint, the whole thing, because the number that go unused is remarkable. And the number of people that want to vote in person at the polling place, they're still most of them in the habit of going there, giving up their vote by mail ballot, and then going and printing a new ballot on a ballot marking device, which is more ink and more paper and more. It's really ridiculous. The best way, in our opinion, to vote is to take advantage of the law that was hard won. And that is that you've got a ballot in your hand. It is a legitimate ballot. Take all the time you need and mark it at home. And then in one of the 11 days that you're allowed to go to a vote center and vote,
take that ballot with you.
No. You take it with you. You fill out the check-in sheet. You go over and they check you in and mark you as a voter. And you say, I'm going to use this ballot. I'm not going to put it in an envelope. I'm going to put it directly into the ballot box and it's going to get counted tonight. That is now the right, supposedly, of every single person in the state of California. Voters don't know this. So they're handing over a perfectly good ballot to be ripped up so they can go use one that's going to be converted to a QR code that they can't read, and they don't know whether their votes are accurately reflected in that QR code. So we're saying skip the machine, skip the QR code, mark your ballot at home, take it in without the mailing envelope, and turn it in at the polls.
So these machines you think are fraudulent?
They can be hacked. Any technology can be hacked, all right? So anything that you can avoid, you're just safer, that's all. I'm not saying that they're being hacked monumentally. I don't know. We haven't done any investigation. Nobody will let us do
the investigation. There was a lot of talk about machines in 2020. Did Election Integrity ever investigate that?
We didn't hear too much about it in California. They didn't have to bother to manipulate California,
yeah, that's
right?
True, exactly.
We saw it in the key states back east where suddenly a person would vote for one person and then the machine would flip it to another person.
Well, I heard that they were so overloaded with Trump that the machines were actually programmed to stall if Trump got ahead. Was there any truth to that?
I know that was
the allegation.
I did hear similar allegations. I heard allegations of fractional voting. So for every vote for Trump would get 7/10 of a vote, and then a vote for the opposition would get the rest of it plus the vote that they had. So there were a lot of allegations. We watched TV results coming in, and every number should be increasing, right? Every time you see the numbers change, they should be increasing. And yet we saw numbers decrease from minute to minute. Well, once a vote is there and tabulated, how does it disappear?
Yeah, no,
we
that
watched
one I hadn't
that right
heard.
In front
how
of
on
our
earth
face.
Does that happen?
Well, it's manipulation.
It yeah.
I mean, we saw it in front of our face. We've got videos of it. And, you know, they try to blow it off. Oh, no, that was a glitch. They love that word glitch, you know. But the fact is it makes people feel very unsure about the value of their vote and the legitimacy of the voting. Whether it was a legitimate glitch or not, I don't know. But there were a lot of things going on. So what we recommend, again, understand, in San Diego, they call that a carry-in ballot. It's called something different in every county. They call it the carry-in ballot. You carry in your own ballot. You can mark it there.
We did it that way. We carried it in.
You can mark it there, or you can Have it already marked. Walk in with it. Every voter who wants to vote in person that day, which means not sealed in an envelope, has to check in, which you fill out a sheet that puts your name and your address on it. And then you take it to the check-in counter and they put you into the system. Once you show up to vote in person, you don't even have to bring your ballot with you if you're willing to use the machine. You just say, I have not voted yet. I want to vote. They will check the system. The system will tell them whether you've got a ballot already in the system or not. If you have not voted, then they cancel the barcode on your return envelope so that you can't vote a second time. Mm. And then they register you as an in-person voter. Then you have the option of either taking that ballot you were mailed, perfectly good ballot, paper ballot, no QR code, and taking it directly to the ballot box and having it inserted right then and there. Or you can say, okay, I'm going to surrender this ballot and you can rip it up and I'll do it all over again on a machine, which to me seems like a waste of time. And yeah. You know, and just one more step that you're giving somebody a chance to manipulate things. So that's what we recommend that people do. Now, there's a lot of people, vote early, vote early, vote early, vote early, mail your ballot in, do this, do that. They talk about ballot tracks so you can trust it. Well, no, you can't trust it. Ballot tracks, you're supposed to get three messages if you're going to vote with your envelope. Your ballot's on the way to you. Second message, we have received your voted ballot back at the registrar's office. Third message, your ballot has been cleared for counting and will be counted. Okay. I have signed up for ballot tracks three times. I have never received all the messages I was supposed to receive. And this election, I didn't get any. I get the ones for my mother. I don't get them for me. So ballot tracks is not reliable to start with. But what they're saying is, well, if you mail it in early and then if your ballot doesn't get acknowledged, then you can go out and you can vote another way and whatever. If you go in and vote when the polls are open and you vote in person, there's no way for your ballot not to be received. There's no way. And so that's what we recommend. They don't like us for saying that. So, you know, we have a little wars. And I always say, look at the pros and cons of everything and then vote the way that makes you the most comfortable. I'm not going to tell you how to vote, but I do want to give you all the information.
Right.
And this ability to vote with that paper ballot, avoid the machine, avoid the QR code, avoid extra handling and delay in counting your ballot, and just put it directly in the box where it gets counted the night you cast it. So if I cast my ballot 10 days before Election Day, it gets counted 10 days before Election Day. Because a lot of people are worried about that. I want mine to count now. I watched a lady walk in on Election Day with her ballot. She was not informed that she could just turn that one in. They took it and ripped it up. They set her in front of a machine. She's my age or more. And she sat there for 35 minutes trying to figure out how to cast a ballot on the machine. Well, that's not cool. I mean, for some people that are used to technology, I mean, they can do that really quickly. But others of us take a long time to do that so that she could get her ballot into a QR code. I heard her tell the lady, I want my ballot to count today. That's why I want to do this. They didn't even inform her that she could have it counted today and she could walk out of there in 3 minutes.
Okay. Hold with me for one more segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
I'd like to believe in Jesus, but the title itself is an open-ended question. You fill in the rest. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? How will God judge people who never heard of Jesus? Can a scientific mind really accept miracles? These are but some of the concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book has been enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians alike. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But, by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. Did you know that SDCC has been training servant leaders since 1970? That's over 50 years of making an impact. Our degree and certificate programs blend academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Whether you're a traditional age college student or a working professional who wants to complete their degree or certificate program, we may be a match for you. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Over 50 years in the making.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, and say hello again to Ruth Wise. Now, Ruth, in addition to this breaking the glass bad legislation, you mentioned that there's some good legislation that's been happening in California that has the left in a panic. What is that all about?
Did I?
No, the
legislature's not going to pass anything that's good news. But what I did say, the good news is that the bad legislation they're passing is evidence that they are in a panic.
Oh, okay, okay.
They are
I
truly
read that wrong.
Panicked.
Yeah. Recent California legislation, the left is in a panic. So they're in panic about people discovering
the tricks of their bad legislation. The feds can't come in and investigate us anymore. They can't look at our machines. Nobody can challenge this. You get challenged and maybe jailed if you so much as make a peep about that something was wrong or, you know, whatever.
Right.
All of these laws are clearly last minute breaking the glass. There's no other place to go. Panic situation. You can see them in a panic. That's why they're doing what they're doing.
Okay. The last time you were on, speaking of election integrity, we talked about the SAVE Act. What is the status of that? What are the chances of that at this point?
Well, I just heard that they have connected it to, they've played the old game again that gets played over and over again. They've connected it to a bill that can pass with 51 votes.
Well, that's good.
And it's a bill that is likely to pass because of what it's connected to. So
what did they connect it to?
I'm trying to remember now. It's some sort of an appropriation thing that everybody's has to pass it or else. I don't remember. Everything's just been so fuzzy. But that was a very recent thing, just a couple of days ago. I heard that, which means it's not as dead as we thought it was.
We sure aren't hearing much about it in the news. I would have thought it was dead.
No, there's too much other
to hear
chaos.
That, yeah.
It did go basically dead. I mean, it's not completely dead, but sort of moribund.
Are they going to try to get it passed
like
before the midterms?
Or like in Princess Bride, mostly dead. But they do still want it, President Trump and those that are really for it, still want it to pass. And so they're trying to find an end around. And like so many different times, things have gotten passed that they were requiring a 60 votes on, and they find a way to pass it with 51. That and the fact that I think it was Susan Collins who changed her mind and said she'll now vote for it.
Yes, she
so
did.
So now we actually have
the 51
votes.
I wonder if she did that
votes.
Under pressure because of this Nazi that they just
I don't know,
nominated.
But we now have the 51 votes. And
wow.
So it can actually pass this way. So we'll just have to wait and see what they do with it. But it's a little bit alive again.
Any ideas how the midterms are going to go? Traditionally, they don't go to the party with the presidency.
Boy, that's anyone's guess, isn't it?
Yeah, they might break that rule this time.
Well, to go all the way back to your initial opening monologue, I think it has a lot to do with how the Iran war calms down and the prices come down and everything
and like
normalizes.
I said, even though I don't think Iran's going to honor this deal, I'd like for everyone to just think that so that they could stop it for a while. And then after the midterms, you know,
have shown over and over again, we have a very short memory and a willingness to forgive very, very easily. And so we've been through three tough months, although they weren't anywhere near as tough as some of the months we went through in the previous administration.
Yeah, the gas prices were high under Biden, but that was
much
because
higher.
Of global warming and not because of a war.
Yeah. So now, you know,
you going to go back? You took the Democrats out of power because they believe in gender trans surgery, because they believe in open borders, because they won't stop crime. And so you took them out, but you're going to put them into power again because of your gas prices? Are you certifiably insane? We've got to stop this.
But I think if the thing calms down and the prices go down and people are suddenly living their lives that they were before, it'll be real easy for them to come back and vote their consciences again, and maybe it won't be as bad as predictions.
All right. Well, Ruth, it's always a pleasure, and I always learn something new when I have you. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Bob.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.